sacrifice for him. It's the least. I remember when I was lost and undone, I was a fool. I'd done foolish stuff. Somebody would say, man, he's crazy. When I got saved, God said, I really don't want you to settle down. I just want you to turn and go in another direction. I want you to be the same wild-eyed, crazy person. Just do it for me. You've done it for yourself, and you've done it for the devil. Some of you sitting in this room, you act one way for God, but you acted like wild for the world. Man, why don't you show some passion for Jesus? Why don't somebody see Jesus doing a big work in your life instead of just the world? You don't know how much it costs. I love that. I love that phrase in that song. It says, you do not know what the cost of my oil was. Woo, glory to God. If God has ever given you any good thing for you to give back to him, my God, have you ever, has anybody here been, since you've been saved and God's given you the opportunity to give back to him, and you're sitting there going, man, I can't believe this. Golly, I've been in, before I got saved, I thought the whole world revolved around me. I wouldn't want to give nothing to God or anybody else. Then God saved me, and I can't believe it when he gives me the ability to give something to him in different ways. And it blows me away. I'm sitting here going, my gosh, what an awesome opportunity. Luke chapter 7, verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Man, that messes my whole world up every time I read it. I thought the Pharisees hated Jesus. I thought they didn't like him. Why in the world would they want him to come in their house and eat? It's still going on today, folks. We got people still inviting Jesus into something that's wrong. We still got people who are going, man, I want Jesus to come in here and see how I do things. I want to show this Jesus how religious I am. I want to show this Jesus how good I am. Man, I guarantee you, I've been reading this Bible for years and years and years. I bet there were some people in that scripture right there who would said, man, I would give anything to go back to when I run into Jesus and repent and ask him. You know, there were people who tried to trick Jesus. Do you know there were people who tried to fool with Jesus? Do you know there were people trying to trick him into saying something wrong where they could hold it against him? I bet every one of those souls were sitting there going, my God, can I just speak it plainly to you? Some of y'all need to quit messing around with Jesus before it's too late. This Pharisee said, come on over. Some of y'all this morning, you come to church this morning, you said, look at me, Lord. Look at me. Well, he's looking at you. He's looking right at you, but he ain't looking at your hair. He ain't looking at your dress. He ain't looking at your suit. He ain't looking at your pants. He's looking at your heart. He's looking at your mind, and he's looking at you, and he sees whether you're saved or lost. He sees what you're hiding. Jesus or God is the only one who knows the heart of a man or a woman. Nobody else does. The Pharisees, come over to my house, Jesus. I want to show you what a beautiful place I got. I hope we don't ever do that with this church of ours. I hope we say, come in here, Jesus. You could always make everything better. Amen. The Pharisee had him in his house. And verse 37 said, behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. You might want to write that down. We're all sinners. We're all sinners in here. There ain't none righteous, no, not one. You weren't born into faith. You didn't come to faith by accident. You come to faith through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, or you're not in it. Amen? That's how you come to Jesus. You got to come to the fact to understand that you're a sinner and that you need Jesus to be your Savior. But I love this. Behold, a woman of the city, which was a sinner, probably a prostitute. Ain't that amazing? Jesus spent more time with people we'd never even get around because we wouldn't want to take them to taint our religious selves. When she knew that Jesus sat in the meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. My God, that's so good. Jesus is sitting there having meat with the most religious person you would ever meet. He's sitting there in mufflers and wimplers and crisping pins. He's got the 12 tribes of Israel plastered across breastplate of his. He said, he's so religious, but you know what he's forgot to do? He's forgot to welcome Jesus in his home. Now, I'll get into that in a moment, but he's forgot to honor Jesus as being the guest of honor in his house. He's just treated him like a servant or a slave who's walked in the room. And guess what? Jesus said, if you want to treat me that way, that's fine. I'll just send for somebody. God, I love Jesus. Because if you won't do it, God will send for somebody who will. And it won't be somebody that's better than you in your mind. It'll be somebody that you go, man, I think I'm better than them. But you're not. You'll look at somebody and go, well, I can't believe Jesus chose that person to serve him. No, it's not the fact that they are somebody different than you. It's that somebody is obedient enough to do it when they're called to do it. With no strings attached. She walks in the room, not even invited. Amen? Walks in the room. Can you imagine that? Her just walking in the room, got her little alabaster box of ointment right there beside her, carrying it into the room, walking in the room. Probably, if you know anything about Jewish culture at this time, they're not sitting at tables. They're sitting in the floor reclined. They're sitting on pillows, and they're reclined back. And she just walks in the room, probably skirting the very edge of the room until she comes to Jesus. Some of y'all need to start coming to church and forgetting about everybody else. Just come and sit with Jesus. Y'all come in the room and you want everybody else to be impressed with you, but you really don't care what Jesus thinks of you. I love how this woman comes in and she said, the guest of honor is here and nobody's treating him like a guest of honor. We need to do better as a church at that. We don't sing songs for each other. We don't preach messages for each other. We don't pray for each other. We're trying to reach Jesus. And if we're not trying to reach Jesus, we're going to fail. We're going to fail miserably. Because somebody might say, man, that's a powerful preacher. Oh, man, that's a powerful singer. Oh, man, that's a powerful prayer. Here's what I want. I want God to say, I heard it. I got it. That was for me. Amen. I don't care what you like. I want to know what the king likes. I want to know what the king wants. Amen. What does King Jesus want from me? This alabaster box of ointment brought it in the room, sneaks off around the back, verse 38, and stood at his feet behind him weeping. We're missing that in our church today. Hardly anybody ever weeps anymore. If you want to see some souls saved and lives changed, weep over broken people. Weep over lost souls. Sow in tears, reap in joy. Some people say, I'm so broken, I want so-and-so to be saved so much. When's the last time they ever seen you just broke down and pleading God for their behalf? Not around them. I'm talking about right in front of them. I'm talking about letting them know, look, I am so worried. I am so concerned. I am so baffled. If I have to go into heaven without you, I don't know what heaven's going to be like. But so many times we put it off. We watch uncles and aunts and brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and husbands and wives and children. We watch them going down a path of destruction, and we have the answer, and we're like, well, I don't want to do this to them. I don't want to do that to them. Praise God, what is it going to be like when you're separated on the day of judgment from them? Nobody talks about that anymore. Stand in front of them and tell them, look, I'm concerned about your soul. I don't care if you like me or love me. I worry about your soul. Standing, you see her weeping, standing behind Jesus. We don't hardly mess our makeup anymore. We don't mess up our hair anymore. We don't want people to make, man, they look like a fool up there on that altar. I really believe this. We've lost the power of the altar. People used to pray, man, until God came to. I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation's for free. Salvation is a free gift. You can get salvation in 5 minutes if you really want it. But there's some things that need to be prayed through for. There are some things that a husband or a wife or a brother or a sister or an aunt or a cousin who would come and be, who say, I'm going to be like that woman who begged that wicked judge. I'm going to show up tomorrow with my petition. I'm going to show up tomorrow with my petition. I'm going to show up tomorrow with my petition. The wicked judge looked at her and said, I'm sick and tired of this woman coming. We talk about lost souls. But when's the last time we've bombarded heaven to the point where he says, man, I'm sick and tired of of hearing from them about this. I'm going to have to take care of this. I'm going to have to send somebody their way. I don't think we realize who we're messing with. This lady come in the room, man, Peter, James, John, we all have done this too. The apostles are all just sitting around with Jesus too. We've all got to the point where we're just kind of desensitized. Oh yeah, we're saved, we're born again, we're on our way to heaven and just sitting in the room with Jesus. No big deal, we're saved as we can be. Praise God. Every once in a while we should get overwhelmed. I have gone to church with some of you for multiple years and I've never seen you overwhelmed with Jesus. Never seen you overwhelmed with Jesus. Not overwhelmed with this or that. I'm just talking about overwhelmed. Oh, give me a moment because Jesus has just reminded me of what my salvation cost. Of where he found me and what this is all about. My God, I'm just going to sit here in my moment and just worship Jesus. I'm sorry. I lost it with you because I'd rather be with Jesus right here. Began to wash his feet with the tears and did wipe them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Man, what a mess. What a mess. Could you imagine watching a woman washing a man's feet that are filthy, dirty, with the hairs of her head and the tears of her eyes, hair matted? Just a mess. People would look at her and go, man, she is going to look horrible when she leaves here. And she goes, I don't really care how I looked. This is Jesus. This is the one who's dying for my sins. This is the one who sets me free. This is the one who does it. I would rather look a fool in front of you and be pleasing to him than anybody in this world. Some of you will get beautiful if you would get ugly before God. Some of you are beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, you're death. You're dying. You're ugly. But boy, if you'd ever get with Jesus. There she is just pouring herself out and everybody's looking at her and she's just sitting there. I mean, she has forgot about everybody in the room. Man, I wish we'd do that at church more often. Is get to the place where we're not. I didn't come for you. Better be careful. You might run them off. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm trying to get a hold of Jesus. Verse 39 is my favorite. Now the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, and he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, if is the banner that will be stretched over hell." Because if you're still talking about Jesus or God with ifs, you're not saved. Because he said if he were a prophet, he wasn't as a prophet, he was the Son of God. If he'd have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. He don't even know who's touching him. Oh, he does. Oh, he does. Jesus knows exactly who's touching him and who's not. Amen? He knows everybody in this room, whether you're touching him or not, whether you want him or not, whether you're in or not. And you know what? He knows very well. This man's sitting here reasoning his heart and goes, I don't know who invited her in here. I sure didn't. Jesus is sitting here going, I did. I'm glad Jesus invites people that makes me uncomfortable. I'm glad Jesus invites some of us that makes everybody else uncomfortable. I've looked at some. Man, why'd God save them? Why God save? You know why? Because God's a miracle-working God. He's a trophy God. Amen? You know where he gets his trophies from? Trash heap. Amen? Everybody else, they would take from the richest and the smartest and the best. God goes down to the trash heaps of life. Thank God. Picks that one up and says, here's a good one. You know why he does that? That way when he's showing out and glorifying himself through your life, there ain't nothing you can say about it. You can't say, man, I was raised in this and I've done that. Here's what you said. I was in the trash heap of life and Jesus came by and picked me up and out of it. And he's made something out of my life because he's God. Verse 40, and Jesus answering and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. And he saith him, Master, say on. Boy, this is so good. Y'all mind if I preach right here a little bit? Somebody else, I've been preaching for 35 minutes. Can I preach right here for a moment? Jesus is so good. He's sitting there with Peter and he goes, instead of wearing somebody out, he leans over and he goes, hey Peter, I'm gonna run something by you. hey Peter, let me run a little scenario by you. Peter's like, oh, okay, Lord. We're kind of busy right here, you know. But Jesus is cool, he's so good. Have you ever, you know, if you'll write this down right here, say, help somebody, this is just to help somebody. Jesus, a lot of times, will talk to somebody else to talk to you, and you'll pick it up secondhand, and it'll have more influence on you than it did the person that was having the conversation. I've been around some people sometimes, and they're talking about the Lord. Next thing you know, it's flooring me, and I'm sitting over going, I don't even know if they know that I'm in this conversation with them. But praise God, God's wearing me out with it. He's got me good right here. So he just leans over and goes, hey, Simon, I got something to say. Peter's like, I love this little King James Version right here. It says, say on. Sorry. I don't know why. Every time I get it, I read it that way. He said, say, Master, say on. Anyway. Therefore was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50 pence. Everybody, 500's bigger than 50. Everybody in here know that? Everybody know that? So the person that owes 500 owes more than the person that owes 50. Is that good? Somebody owes you $500 versus them owing $50, that's a bigger deal, right? Some of y'all are going to be wanting to find the person with the $500, but the $50, I want to find them, but it's not preeminent, right? Watch this right here. And when they had nothing to pay, verse 42, hello? Are y'all with me still? It's going to get good if you'll let it. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Can I help you, though? I want to help you before we go any further. The one that owed 500 couldn't pay. The one that owed 50 couldn't pay. I want to tell you this. I don't know what your background is before you come to Jesus, but you simply couldn't pay. Do y'all remember when Jesus came into the temple and he started turning the tables over? Remember he flipped the tables over? Some of y'all have wondered for years, why did Jesus do that? Because what they were doing is, they were marking up the prices and the exchange rate of the money for people to come and worship. Millions of people would flood into Jerusalem during the Holy Week. And for them to get forgiveness of their sins, they had to offer up a sacrifice. And what they would do is they would mark up the prices, and then they would mark up the exchange rate, right? And the Pharisees and Sadducees were making a bunch of money off of it. And what Jesus was saying was simply this. If I chose to charge you the correct price, nobody could afford it. Amen? He flipped the tables over because he says, you're charging for sacrifice that one day you couldn't afford 1 ounce of my blood that would get you to forgive, be forgiven of your sins. I don't care if you drown in 5,000 feet of water or in a teaspoon of water, you're still drowning. Amen? What Peter was saying is, he was saying to Peter, is there's two debtors here. And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom forgave the most, and he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged, Peter. Man, he got it right. Man, ain't it good when you finally get one right? Peter said, I think the one that owes you 500 is going to be more outwardly showing. But I'm going to tell you this, friend. Once you ever really get a hold of it, I don't care if you owed 5,000, 500, or 50, or 5. You sometimes need to come to the realization that without Jesus, you were lost and undone and went go to a sinner's hell on 5, on 50, on one sin. But Jesus forgave you the most. And if you've got one of them high bills, 500s, I'm one of the 500 club. Amen. I'm going to make a big deal about Jesus because, praise God, he should have never said, hey, I just simply forgive you, Kevin, of all your sins. He shouldn't have done that. But he did. So praise God. Watch this right here. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into this house. Now I want y'all to get this. If y'all just stay with me for a few more minutes, it's going to help you a lot. Because I'm going to try to help some of you in here. See this woman? I entered into the house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she washed my feet with the tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou did not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. There were three things that if you were supposed to invite a guest of honor into the room or just a guest, you were supposed to do some things. You're supposed to give them some water to wash from the trail. They're supposed to wash their feet. They were supposed to anoint their head with oil that would cover the fragrance of walking on the road. But what did this man do? He said, I simply will not regard Jesus as a guest of honor. And Jesus said, well, if you'll not regard me as a guest of honor, I will go get somebody who will. And they might not have the tools and the things to do it the way you would do it, but they will find a way to do it, and it will be pleasing to me. I'm telling you for this. Jesus knows everything you're supposed to be doing. Get to doing it. God knows and keeps good record. If you're supposed to be here at this church and be a part of this church, be here. If you're supposed to be serving in this community, come and serve in this community. If you're supposed to be doing things here and doing them well and right, come and do them well and right. Because God knows what you're supposed to be doing for Him. He keeps good record. He looked at Peter and he said, this woman right here, her sins are many. But guess what? They're going to be forgiven, because what she did is she came in here and she never let up in doing what she's supposed to be doing. Friend, there's a challenge here for you this morning. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Has He forgiven you of your sins? If He has, then guess what? There's only one prayer left for you to pray. God, here I am. Send me. Use me. But if you're sitting here and you're not saved and you're not forgiven of your sin, you need to be coming up to this altar and say, God, I owe 50, I owe 100, I owe 300, I owe 500, I owe 5,000, I am a sinner. God, I need you to simply forgive me of my sin debt and be the Lord of my life. Then after you make that plea, you need to say, then, here I am, God. Send me. And I'm going to say this very last thing. This is where the two messages would just convert. Everybody stand as they come get a song. Here's where the two messages would converge.